searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth. He's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all. Give it all, he wants it all. And he says, love me with your own.
That I'm not the only one that prepare messages for those that are going to have to go through the tribulation period because they keep ignoring the signs. Amen. I saw a movie, and in the movie, they had a clip of T.D. Jakes, you know, being a pastor on video for people that had got left behind at the rapture. Saints, it's hard to really overemphasize this. We are at a crucial, critical time in history. I know if people want to believe it's a long way off. But take a look at the world, particularly outside the United States. The debauchery and the violence. They talk about the violence here. I haven't seen a million people in the United States rioting in the streets like they are over there in France. Amen, mad because they had to work 2 more years. Really, seriously. But amen, I just thank God for this opportunity. Amen. And let us go before the throne of grace, a privilege that was purchased by the blood of Jesus. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for this opportunity. We thank you for the privilege to come before your throne. We thank you that you even recognize us, Lord. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent Jesus to die for us, Lord. Amen. A sinless person for sinful people. And we thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross and all that you had to go through to buy back our salvation. And we thank you for sending back the Holy Spirit as you said you would to teach us and to guide us and to comfort us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for standing up and being there to strengthen us and to guide us in these last days. Hallelujah. Lord God, we ask right now that you bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding more, that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you've made available to them that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. Bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Father God, I ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I thank you and I praise you. And I want to thank the saints at Runner for Christ Ministries that invited me out to speak at their Men's Day service. It was a joy to see people other than seeing myself on the screen. I mean, it was such a blessing. You know, and I was trying to remember a word, amen, and I don't forget it already. The word was unconditional. But, you know, agape love is unconditional. And I thank God that that's what they show me every time. You know, that's why I get the courage to, you know, people often, they have asked me, do you get nervous when you speak? Well, you know what? I was told when you stop being nervous, that's when you stop being humble. Then that ain't going to work out good. So, yeah, I'm always, even when I come here, I mean, here, you know, it's still, you got to rely on God. And that's the if you go back, well, this is what this life is about. Amen. The Bible is clear that the focus is our minds are supposed to link up with God. And we're supposed to be surrendered to his program and his ideology. And God and his word, you know, he said that the laborer is worthy of his hire. Therefore, if you labor for him, he'll reward you. He don't have to, but he does. Amen. Everything that God does, you know, he stands up behind his life. He's been doing things for me. In the last few months, it's just been awesome, you know. But, you know, and that's to establish that record that I can tell people, you know, I needed $4,500 right away. He managed to get it for me. I needed another $2,700. He got it for me. You know, I just recently had to replace a windshield on my car. Got it done. I mean, it's got to do that. But the whole point of this life, it's so that we can learn he is God and we are not him, okay? Amen. We're subject to God. And you will find, look at the world. Roughly 78% don't believe in God, don't believe in the true and the living God. And the rest of us, they it's so variable. You know, it comes down to about 2% that will do what God say, when he say, how he say. And that's sad, because this is what's going on in the world. If you think the world is just getting crazier, think about this. Nothing, what's changed? What has changed? God hasn't changed. Satan hasn't changed. The only change is our attitude toward God. You know, I found out, you know, a company that I had a lot of respect for that would be closed on Sundays out of respect for God. Stop supporting Christian charities that was anti or not or stood up for the word where homosexuality is concerned. So they stopped supporting them. See, it's different if they deserve civil rights, just like adulterers and fornicators and liars and thieves. You know, they hire people, hire them. You know, so why not hire a person with purple hair or whatever they call themselves these days? But the point is, when you turn and speak out against God, that's a whole different territory. That's a whole different territory. That's the government. The Bible is clear. So any nation that forgets God shall be turned into hell. So I'm telling you, I'm not going to be here. And this is the final, I believe, the final session on holding on to the end, because we're getting closer. And, you know, the Lord was sharing with me, I believe it was the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to say for sure, but I had this thought about this artificial intelligence. I'll put it like that. And think about it. This thing, there's a reason God put limits on our minds. We haven't grown, our minds and our intelligence haven't grown past Adam. Okay? Adam actually had more intelligence than all of us, because Adam began with full knowledge. And then God had to turn that around because Adam didn't get it. But he knew that. See, that's the reason it is because Adam, right away, if you go back and you look at him, he got amnesia. You know, when God approached him about the sin that had been committed, he immediately blamed God and Eve. All right? But see, now again, this is the whole point, that we are subject creatures to God. And that's all he had to remember. What God had expected was, yeah, okay, Lord, yeah, you told me what not to do, and I didn't do it, and I apologize. It would have been that simple. It would have been that simple. It would have changed a lot of things, made a big difference. That makes a big difference with God. That God knows we are not God. He knows. But Adam, listen, if Adam had been omniscient, he would have knew who the devil was. Even though he showed up as a serpent, he would have knew who he was and what he was up to, but he's not omniscient. Neither are we. Okay, we cognition. We get our mindset and our powers and limits are set by God. Nobody sets God's limits. All right. So to make it to the end, that songwriter said, hold on to his hand. How do you recognize his hand? By his word. If you're trying to hold on by anything other than his word, you got to grip on something else. You have to be careful because Satan knows that. You'll stick a hand out there, it look like God, and it ain't God. So we're going to at least read our opening scripture, which is found in Matthew chapter 10. I'm not going to read all of it. I'm going to read the key scripture. But Jesus is describing, now understand what Jesus is describing is going on in other countries. Maybe I should read it. All right, I'm going to start with verse 16. But I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. I'm reading, this is from the NIV, sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. Be on your guard against me, and they will hand you over to the local councils and flog you in their synagogues. Okay, now that's Jewish folk. Flog you on the synagogues. On my account, when you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say and how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child. And children rebel against their parents and have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And in the King James, it says, he that endureth to the end. And that's all we have to do. Now, why the process? Why go through all this? Well, again, it's easy to say, I love you, Lord. But you really don't know how much a person loves you till they go through something. See, everybody loves you when everything's going all right. How many couples stayed together when they first started out and they was all happy and jolly? And then all of a sudden, the wife wanted to know, why I got to wash the dishes all the time? I work too. Then the husband, then, you know, may not be the type that, depending on how the culture he comes from, he may not have washed the dishes, but he's in his own culture now. So that change has to come. And next thing you know, out of something that simple, they wind up in divorce court. You'd be surprised what split people up. And they look back and they're like, seriously? Because really, they don't have a fix on what the whole of life is about. And I know this from experience, because I remember years ago, you know, when I first got married, I didn't have, it was a shock all the way around. It was, being a teenager, I was 19, you know, got my girlfriend pregnant, and then all of a sudden I'm a father, and I barely had an understanding, not knowing that in the Bible, all the instructions of life are in there. Now, somebody coined a phrase called Bible basic instruction before leaving earth. And that's what it is. And it has myriads of examples of the same thing. You know, when you read the Bible, you begin to feel, you begin to feel comfortable about being human. You're like, okay, I ain't the only one that's goofy. You know, I know someone they have believed, they have been taught. There are some of us Christians that have been taught, like everybody in the Bible, these people holy, get it right all the time, folks. Ain't but one in the Bible that's like that, one human, and that was Jesus. Everybody else, at some point in time, they blow it. I mean, if I hadn't heard Jesus say that Solomon was the wisest man ever, I would not have believed it, because he did some stuff I hadn't even did. I mean, but seriously. And David was a man after God's own heart, and he did some stuff I wouldn't have did. But it tells you, when you hear the word mercy, how merciful God is. And that's encouraging, because, you know, like, you know that they do what they did. I learned from David, just when you blow it, don't make excuses. If you need help, ask God, help me with this, Lord. Don't make excuses. Don't make excuses. And that's what we're talking about, holding on to the end. And one of the parts about being able to hold on to the end, and we talked about last week a little bit in Isaiah chapter 26, he said he will keep you in perfect peace where if you keep your mind on him. The mind, you know, the mind, if you listen to man, and I get their idea, but your mind is the word that stresses your focus. I mean, that's what your mama taught you. You say, mind your own business. You know, stay out of mind. Okay, stay out of grown folk business. That's what your mind does. It's described. You can't cut the brain open and find something in there called the mind. You can find what the mind does, but you cannot find it per se. You know, and it amazed me that they're slicing, making paper-thin slices of brain trying to find it. They found out a lot. They find out this life that the brain ain't no accident. But now the University of Pennsylvania is looking at it from a whole different, looking at it from a biblical perspective, that the spirit sends the revelation to the brain and it transfers and causes the reactions in the muscles. They've done some extensive research on that. And that's our makeup. We're a spirit, okay, with a mind, will, and emotion, and we live in a body. And see, Satan understands that he's had 6,000 years of practice at war with us. We new to the scene, but we got the word. We have evolved spiritually. I've been a Christian for 45 years, and things we are taught and know now, we didn't know 45 years ago. They were still in the dark ages. You know, for instance, the thing about women staying at home and not working, that ain't in the Bible. That's an option. That's between the husband and the wife and God. You know, I talked about something I frequently talk about because I did some research once, and I started noticing there are 13 leaders in the Bible, female leaders in the Bible. Only one of them was crazy, and that was Jezebel. Remember, Jezebel, that woman that gonna do what she want to do no matter what she want to do, you know, but her husband married her anyway. See, and that's why she in there, to illustrate. She was not going to be submissive to God. You know, in my book that I have, I suggest that you marry a praying person that pray every day, not pray when they need to pray, not just pray over dinner. I'm going to tell you why, knowing this from my own experience. I am very protective over my relationship with God. And most people that I know that pray daily, whether in English or not, or heavenly, are protective over their relationship because they know when they're in the presence of God. And they know when God is not present. And they know, they can tell in their spirit there's something is wrong. We are spiritual creatures by nature. See, this is another area that affects whether or not we have peace. I don't have peace if God is not at peace with me. See, so that regards to how I approach every issue. You know, it's a process in relationships, like marriage particularly. You know, like I said, God told me a long time ago, he just said it one time, and, you know, God, he got a way of saying something to your spirit that makes you know that, all right, we're not going to have this discussion again. It kind of reminds me of Robert J., my daddy. I'm not telling you no more, okay? And he said, that's my daughter, period. He's talking about my wife. That's my daughter. Listen, my wife will tell you, I would halfway chew my tongue off. I would not raise my voice. Do it. Listen, you're gonna afflict each other. This is part of the process of life, to hold it in. Why? Because it tells God what you would do with full power. That's all you have to be concerned about, particularly with men. Anyway, Brian, amen, praise God. I hope some of them have to do. You know, you have to, that's critical in a relationship because we have these preconceived notions of how things will be. If we do everything according to God's will, which rarely happens, then yeah, a lot of them things will work out like that, but we don't. We marry people without consulting God, then consult God afterwards and say, oh, you got to fix this. Now, listen, but he knew that. That's why his definition of love, if you notice in 1 Corinthians 4:8, there's no emotion in there. The person don't deserve it, and there's nothing that says if you do this, they will do that. It don't read like that. And the best example of that is God and us. He know how we are. He has been exercising that up to the point that we got saved. I mean, come on, he blessed us before we even know who he was. He could have denied us everything. He could have made us live out in the desert. He could have took away our mind a long time ago, but he didn't. And he loved us. When you hear God loves you, you know, and I tell people what I try to help them understand what that means. That don't mean that he, see, it's that agape love. You have to build that Eros type love with God, you know, where that sweetness comes. That comes from people. The people that worship God at home by themselves, they understand that. That's why they do it. That's why they sing. They don't sing just because they like singing, but they love singing to him, and they know it draws his presence. That's a major factor in keeping and holding on and keeping a peaceful mind. See, when you're in constant contact with God, you are assured. You feel, you have, as the songwriter say, blessed assurance. That's common. You know, I find that, you know, this is the challenge, okay. To understand this, you have to understand the psychology of God. You should know, well, if you've been listening to Training Day, you know the reasoning for it. We are Training Day. We are being trained to serve with God, serve with Jesus as kings and priests in his kingdom. You're talking tremendous power. tremendous power. I mean, if you really want a glimpse of it, a better view, ask God. He will, because he'll put it across to you so you can get it. Let's read 2 Timothy. Is that 2 Timothy chapter 2? A familiar scripture. Okay. Sooner or later, this Bible is going to come up. Okay, there we go. You know, it begins with the word. One of the things I was trying to emphasize in the Men's Day meeting is it's our responsibility to teach our children. You know, and I've had, that was something because I was late getting the revelation that my children were given to me for the specific purpose to be prepared to serve in God's kingdom eternally. That's what's in the Bible. And see, and the reason, you know, we're the first really, if you know Christian history, that for a long time, it became a tradition not to read your Bible, but that tradition came from a battle in Christianity started by Satan through some people, through some believers, anyway, specifically the Catholic Church. They called the Catholic Church. The word Catholic basically is another way of saying there's one body of Christ. That's what his actual definition is, but it's spelled with a small c. But it grew into, as Satan does, into somewhat of a spiritual monstrosity that's so far off. And even at that, their misguidance is a result of a lack of prayer by those that do know the truth. See, God is always looking at how we handle the power he gave us. See, God, one of the first things I noticed that when I got the word of faith was Bishop Butler did not attack any believer in Christ, regardless of their level. His thing has been, okay, locate them, then you know what to pray for them. That's why when you hear that opening prayer, the spirit of wisdom, the intelligence of God's wisdom, I can't give them that. I can teach them about it. And they have to make a decision to receive it. But to really impact it, they have to get it from God. That's why each individual need to go to God. Okay? This one I want to read out of the OJ, the King James, okay? Because I think I get what they try to ease things, but hallelujah. Okay, well, let's read. I'm going to start with verse 14. It says, "Other things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing," it said rightly, not rightfully, "rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Okay? Bottom line is he puts a responsibility to study. In verse 15, that's our responsibility. Okay? Now, again, despite the fact that I know World War III is on the horizon, despite the fact that I know there will be an increase of earthquakes and famines and pestilences, I'm comfortable. I am at peace. The fact that violence is increasing, I am comfortable and I am at peace. Why? Because I know God's word concerning me. Hallelujah. And that's not my pastor's responsibility. He just put it out there and said, you need to look into this and you need to get with God with this. And that's the case. A lot of people expect somehow that pastors have some level of power to make things happen for them that they are not. And a lot of times, right as they're talking to the pastor, the Lord will tell them, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let them go through. Let them go through. See, the way, again, to get through, to make sure to see the promises of God manifest, you need to be doing what you should be doing. You need to be where you should be, saying what you should say. A lot of it's too much silence of the lambs in the body of Christ. You know, it's amazing. I didn't even respond because I probably would have said something crazy about this person that talked about they keep their religion private. Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you. See, they keep it private because they're worried about offending men. But if you learn the wisdom of God, as he said, that you're supposed to be as slick as a snake and harmless as a dove, you'll know how to reach them. See, listen, every situation, it's different when you out on the street. And even out on the street, we've changed, and I thank God for that. I prayed over that, and it finally changed. And that's where you have to do everything. See, you may not like the way things go at church, but you can always go to God and ask him to change it. So now when we approach people, we ask them, can we pray for you? Right off the bat. Can we pray? And they're like, what? And see, and that's one, because we have that authority that gives God an opportunity to bless them. It doesn't matter what they need. They might need healing. They might need a job. They might need, it doesn't matter what they need. Giving God the opportunity to intervene makes it hard to argue that he's not, okay? And it makes it clear that God is, see? And the thing is, it creates the continuity, then they got to get come into Christ. Because that's when you can share with them. See, they'll come back and tell you a lot of times what happened. And that's God's drawing card. That's not healing. You know, if you have one of them cross-referencing Bible or Bible program, cross-reference the word healing and heal. You know what you'll find? You'll find that the believers were going out and God was using them to heal. And it's a criteria behind that. You know, as Paul said in one situation, seeing that he had faith to be healed. He was looking for it. You'll pick that up. And a lot of Christians really believe it or not, because if they go long term, they need to analyze. If I go long term, in 3-4 days, I want to know, Lord, is something wrong? Am I wrong about it? Am I doing what you're supposed to be? What? Because you don't lie, okay? God does not lie, okay? So I expect to. I mean, I know I got wear and tear with 72 years, but there's something. I don't expect cancer to dwell in my body. I don't have no right to dwell in my body. This body belongs to Christ. I made it. I took the offer. Okay? Christ, he died for my sins, so I ain't got to take that. And I let that creature know, any creature. See, that's the other thing. That's another thing about having, look at all the stuff that's in the world. Man, please, I'm telling you, there's so many diseases out there. If they told us how many things out there roaming around, I think more people would probably feel hopeless. I know that from where I was working. We had a situation where they had to shut down a third of the jail because some people had been in there, came from another country and left the disease they didn't have a name for. That's why they give them numbers. And people walk around all the time getting stuff and don't know what they're getting. And really, they just don't know. But the point of the matter is to not have to be afraid of all that and to be able to make it to the end where you can keep your focus on doing what God say do. You got to know your words. You got to know the promises of God. You should want to know. And I ain't got books. They didn't make it easy for you. You ain't got to read the whole Bible, although you should. You really should. Okay, they got programs, read the Bible in a year. Start out where you at 9, June, and then just keep on reading. Read it like a newspaper. Like they say, you believe the newspaper. Anyway, so the point of the matter is you want to have peace with God. And if you're happy, you just do what he says. And sometimes, yeah, God may not, you know, everybody wants the high position. Let me tell you about the high position. When you train as a sniper, that's the person you look to kill, the leader. You know, that's why I have great love for pastors, because they the one that Satan coming after the most. He know if he get their head, he can shake the body. And I've seen churches wrecked over that issue. I've seen ministries crash over that issue. And the thing about it, the sad part is, as the late Kenneth Hagin used to say, Christians tend to shoot the wounded. You know, when we're supposed to bind up the wounded. Why not? Because you can get wounded. don't even think you got to do the right thing all the time, because that ain't going to happen. You can believe it. You can work for it. All it takes is that opportunity that Satan send more angels, send more demons than you have angelic protection. See, because we praying for each other, right? But if that time come when you're in a situation with not enough prayers being made, then you might take a shot. Okay? Jesus is the only one. He had full commission of the Holy Spirit. We don't. Okay? But again, like I said, despite all that, we hold on to God's unchanging hand. And again, to be able to recognize his hand, you got to know his word, and then his words are promises. Amen. To get all the need and the standard of the promises. The promises, see, God's love is unconditional, and people tend to believe that the promises are unconditional. Because God had, in the past, he would go above board, above and beyond to bless us. But being that most preachers, a lot of them throughout the world, have set limitations on how they want to deal with God. They don't get into the prophetic aspect of the ministry, which really is just a result of spending time with God. You'd be surprised if you ask some of these pastors, or you can tell for some of these denominations, how much time communication they spend with God in the show. They'll tell you. Sometimes they'll tell you. You know, they don't think it'll take all that. Well, the problem is that they're not there to listen to God when he got something to say. See, twice I've heard that there was a change made. And the change was basically saying that if you don't use what's available, that's known, that God has put in the earth, you're going to suffer the consequences. And if you take a good look, that is what is happening. Recently at a Christian school in Tennessee, there were three adults and three children that were killed by a transgender, no less, something really rare. All right. Now, that happened. Why? The school. What kind of prayer are they doing? How did that not get stopped? Tell me that demon had more power than the body of Christ. How is that possible? You got to look at what's really happening. God hasn't went on vacation. He's never stopped. So what is he doing? What is his expectation? You know, we've been told if you've been praying an hour, you need to step it up to two. If you've been praying two, you need to kick it up to three or four. You need to be doing more than you've been doing. If you didn't read the Bible, you need to pick it up and read. You need to know how to do spiritual warfare. You need to be binging on the word. There's too much teaching on YouTube and every place else for you to be spiritually ignorant, because that ignorance is going to make you suffer pain. I'm just telling you like it is. There's a lot of happy preachers out there preaching, you know, you put a dime in the offering and God's going to give you $1,000 back. How'd that work in for you? Yeah, right. Hallelujah. You know, I tell people, like, what's his name? Caiaphas. He said, if it's of God, you can't stop it. But if it's not of God, just sit around. He'll fall apart on his own. See, that's the thing about it. Is it God said, if a man prophesied a thing and it don't come to pass, it is not the thing that the Lord said. So, you know, I don't take it personal. You know, I know how to. That's the other thing. When you know how to approach God yourself, you get assurance. You can get assurance from prophets, but I don't need them to give me a word that God ain't gave you. And that's the other thing. This is just a sidebar. If a prophet give you a word that God ain't gave you, guess what? He ain't God. Watch it. You know, the sad part is that you run into people that quit going to church over that issue. I'm like, wait a minute. You got to learn at some point in time the relationship is between you and God. I learned that early on. I really did. And that's the other thing. See, when you spend time with God, your spirit knows God. And nothing separates you. I don't go to church because I have to. I don't go to church because I think I won't get no points in heaven if I don't go. I go to serve. I serve in church. I mean, I serve. you know what, I'm actually in the unit that I'm in, I'm actually required to serve once every 3 weeks. I serve every time there's a shortage, and there's always one, I fill the gap. One is, God has been too good to me. I can't do enough to get to earn 30 seconds in heaven. I can't do enough. I can't do enough to spend 30 seconds when Jesus come back to this earth. I mean, come on, I already have eternal life. I ain't working to get nothing. I can't buy it. That's why I serve. And listen, I'm going to tell you something. I like sitting in church sucking in anointing. Because trust, you need to understand, get with God and ask him to take you to the next level. And there's different. In exceptional cases, God will extend the anointing to people's homes because he know they can't be where they need to be. But in the case where you can be at church, I don't think he'll make that exception because you can be there. But you're missing something. See, what comes with the anointing that don't come from the pastor's lips is the revelation you need to go next. See, a lot of people are trying to function off of last week's or last year's anointing. No. How many times in the Bible God say, I'm doing a new thing? And that's the other thing. God is anti-religion. He will change up things. He might bless you one way and totally, you'll have the same situation and he'll bless you another whole way. Totally different. Why? Because he wants you to be dependent on him because that's your security. Safe and secure from all alarm. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a song. That's a song. So, again, this is a key. Now, you got to be in recognition of the reality that we are at war. But we're at war, but it comes with the territory, okay? It comes with the territory. But you got to remember this. Memorize 1 John 4:4. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. You win. You win. You just need to learn what God wants you to learn so you can do what God wants you to do. Because, again, keep the focus on the fact that you're part of a people that will be utilized by God, particularly during the thousand-year reign of Christ. Remember, you're going to have two groups of people on the earth. You're going to have second gen, which is man, as we are now, and third gen, which is man, as Jesus is, and all the saints that have gone on now. They're totally different characters. They're totally different, okay? When they come back and get their body won't have blood in it. It'll be blood, spirit and flesh. Totally different character. And they'll have full capacity of their minds. And see, God wants us to understand that aspect. Now, imagine that, a third-gen man having a conversation with a second-gen man. The third-gen man that had all these ups and downs in life, the second-gen man is just like me being 72 talking to a teenager, telling him what you're doing right now is just stupid. Okay, and this is why. And I get that because I do have conversations with young people, and they think, I'm old. I was that way when I was young. I think, you know, the thing because you're old, your brain has stopped working. Now I know. They did know something. Their brain was working overtime when mine wasn't working that well. So it's a different level. So you're going to have to your mindset has to see them as Christ see us. And it seems simple now because we're not there. But we're not in that situation where we have a third or second gen man in a conversation. But notice they're going to repopulate the earth. Okay? Jesus said in Matthew 22:30 that we're going to quit having babies. Thank God for that. But anyway, the point of the matter is you're going to have, because it's a process that God wants us to understand. Because again, I know it's fantastic when people hear me say about the level of power, man, is just a half a step below God. This is why people that just want to do things their way, the Burger King, treat God like the Burger King instead of the King of Kings, ain't going to get to do that. You're like, I'm not turning you loose in the universe with that attitude. No, because how does this thing begin? Satan decided he didn't want to do what God said do, how he said do. And he didn't have nothing to do. He did not have to work hard. All he had to do was play music, worship God, and he could visit the universe. In Ezekiel 38, he was 38, Ezekiel 28, that dude could visit the earth. That's where he got his head all big, because he could see, he could do things on the earth. And you know, that got to him. See, again, he look at what he had gave up. He gave up his peace of mind, and he didn't have no reason to. He never got sick. He never got tired. He never got hungry, and yet he gave up his peace of mind. And that's what he cast that thought mindset on people now. See, they won't seek God and pursue after him to get their needs met. And when you start, the new people, bear this in mind. God is not going to make you work as hard presently as he do me. Okay? There's some things I'm dealing with now. I have to work a little bit harder. Work harder how? I have to be conscious of what my responsibilities are, what I'm supposed to be doing, and I have to pray more. I have to be sensitive to pray when God wants me to pray. And that's challenging all the time because your mind is like, well, I got to do it this way. Because I'm learning consistently, constantly to be in submission to God. That's what this life is about. Again, that's what you see through the Word. This is why you have to study the Word. We got it good. When Paul wrote, study to show yourself approved, that's all they had was the Old Testament in parts. They had scrolls. They didn't have Bible bookstores to go to get a copy. They had little pieces and scraps of scripture to walk around with. Matter of fact, I think I want to go back part of what I was talking about Sunday to Deuteronomy chapter 6. All right. See, so just to show that there's a continuity. But this continuity in submission to that means that whenever you encounter your enemies, whatever challenges you encounter, you will be comfortable that God has made a way for you to overcome whatever the enemy is bringing to you. I guarantee you. Yes, I'm telling you, yesterday he met me, boy, right on time, on time, on time. Okay, so beginning at verse 1, it says, now these are the commandments and the statutes and the judgments the Lord your God commanded you to teach that ye might do them. Oh, wait a minute. I want to switch over just a little bit here. Give me 1 second here. All right. There we go. They say now I'm in the New King James Version. All right. No Elizabethan English. They say, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgment which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Okay. But now, see, what comes with that, matter of fact, let me read what comes with that. It says, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now they're trying to get rid of milk and honey. You see what kind of crazy world we in? God promised milk and honey, and these folks saying it's bad for the environment. Man, I tell you, Jesus is coming back soon. Okay, now let's read this next verse, okay? It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Now, that tells you something. There's going to be a press against you to stop you from doing that, okay? I mean, that comes with the territory. Why? You know, in Acts 1:8, it said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit come upon you. So, you know, you don't need power if there's no resistance, okay? All right, so now we're going to go where we're going to pick up, finally, to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we ended up last week. See, See, and I'm just trying to give you a little help, a little encouragement to hold on to God's unchanging hand, to these last. Now, if you're in Christ, you should be the last in blessed days. It really should. Because we got something the world wants or needs, and we got it. Amen. Because like I say, I hear it from people. A young lady was sharing with me anxiety that her 8-year-old daughter was having over going to school and getting killed. And I told her, teach your daughter, get a thing, you know, and she's covered under her. But, I mean, you want them to be able to have, I really believe that you give it, because kids are taking seriously. You tell them, listen, because you accepted Christ, you get when the government show up, you command extra angels to protect you. Actually, they can prevent the government from showing up. This is why you can't miss a day of prayer, particularly now. And that, hello, I'm not talking about, this is not the intercessory and supplication prayer. This is a petition before God, short, okay? Father God, in the name of Jesus, let your angels are kept around about my household, protect my daughter and my son as they go to school all this day. I command a squad of angels. I believe in having more than enough. and that's it. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. That's it. That's it. That's what's not happening. You know, something as simple as that is what caused you already or allowed it not having enough more anti-war. Listen, you think about this. God is not, I've heard people with my own ears talking about that God is some ogre sitting up in heaven enjoying watching people suffer violence. No, they are spiritually ignorant and Satan is taking advantage of it. I wouldn't be saying all this if I hear this stuff. I don't hear it from somebody that heard it somebody. I mean, and when it come out of their mouth, I get why they had that mindset. It seemed like that, but see, this is the point. They don't know how this real world works. How you going to know if you haven't read the Bible? How you going to know if you don't have the Holy Spirit to teach you the Word of God? Okay? He shall teach you. He shall teach you. So they got their own mindset. Why? Because they want life to be the way they want it to be. I don't see no way what only heaven and earth that I've seen is when Jesus come back to rule and when he sit down on his throne in Jerusalem. Up until that point, from this point to that point, it's going to get worse. You want to know how bad it's going to get? Read Revelation, start at chapter 5 and read through 19. It's going to be horrible, I'm telling you. Billions are going to be killed. They're going to suffer, okay? Because they didn't want to hear God. He gave them the easy way. This is the easy way. They rejected it. So we read in here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness in this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And it goes on to describe the armor, all right? And that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Now, listen, you don't have to walk around. Well, I don't know. I enjoy praising God all day long, thanking him all day long. I really do, you know. I mean, I'm 72. When I have them days and I wake up and I don't feel no pain nowhere, then, you know, I'm going to say thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. But still, I have a comfort that no matter what they say, what they do, what they're planning, what they're plotting, all that, though, it's letting me know, man, we are that much closer. We are that much closer, and that's what really matters. But here, you got to be cognizant of the fact there's God, there is the devil. I hear conversations as though they don't want to, I get it, they don't want to glorify the devil, okay, but people need to know that he is. But they also need to know how you get authority over him. They need to know that if they have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, They are under Satan's authority. They cannot overthrow him. That's what I mean. It ain't just that way. We didn't make the rules. Last week, a guy called himself checking me, Bob. Y'all so arrogant. Y'all act like there's only one God and only one way. I'm like, he said it is. So if you had an argument, take it to him. I believe what he said. He's my God. I just have, hey, if you chose a God and he ain't told you that, then that's on you. Okay? But my God said there is none other. He said, I am he before and after me there is none. He said, show up. Declare yourself. He got it like that. He's God. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Hallelujah. I mean, really. So we are equipped. Now, this armor, see, that, listen, when you equipped, it's like people. There are people, I go to sleep. I have weapons, you know. I'm mainly for defense of others. When I go out in the street with that weapon, because I'm really looking to use a weapon that I've seen in the Bible that I think we can use anyway. And that ain't my concern, because I remember being in a locker room and this guy was getting dressed to go home and he's putting on five guns. And I'm like, where you going? I'm thinking he's going to this particular area that I know of, and I don't know, maybe hang out with some chick. And he said, I'm going home. I'm like, you live in the phone, man. But I might break down on the freeway. I'm like, man, okay. Listen, you can't shoot what you can't see. And you're coming up from behind you. So you can't do nothing about that. But if you got the Holy Spirit, he'll tell you if there's danger afoot. Amen, I'm telling you. But again, I don't miss days. That activity, I guess that's why I am the way I am, part of why I am the way I am, because there was people that prayed in my life. And I could not compromise God. I couldn't see justifying, Lord, they said they're going to murder me if I don't do this, that, or the other, so I'm going to have to do this. No, I'm like, well, you know what? If I die, I'm going to heaven. And God promised to protect my children if I walk upright before him. So, you know what? You got to do what you do. Just hope I don't see you trying to do it. Hallelujah. And you have to live that life, because that's what you see in the Bible. This is why God, God talked about, be encouraged. And the best way to do that is to engage God. Because God will put your mind in peace. If your spirit is peace, Colossians 3:1, it says, let the peace of God rule. You got to let it rule. How? You let it rule by being in alignment with God. If you got a lot of disarray going on in your mind, in your spirit, you are disconnected. You are God's over to the left and you over to the right. You get what God is, you will have peace. I'm telling you, you know, you learn. It's a lot of moving pieces that you have to learn. But if you learn them, I'm telling you, you will feel that peace and comfort. You know, I often get a lot of compliments about not looking 72 and 72. This lady told me her father was 10 years younger than me and looked 10 years older than me. But that's because of who I live inside. In him I live and move and have my very being. I don't try to do this life on my own. You know, my days begin with God, end with God. And that's why I have the peace of God. So I hope I've given you something, amen, to be peaceful about, the little encouragement. But stay closer. Walk close with God. Now, this peace begins, in case you haven't already received Christ. That is not Jesus' last name. That is a person, God created specifically for us to receive. It takes time. I have a series on Christ on YouTube that you can find it on my website, millennialkingdomtraining.com. But the main thing, this believe this prayer. That's what faith go to works. You got to hear it and receive it, believe it, speak it, declare it, and act on it. Okay, so let's begin. It says, I believe, Lord God, Heavenly Father, I believe the Bible is your word. I believe that you are the only true and living God. And in your word it said that we were all born in sin. And so I acknowledge that and I ask forgiveness for my sin. And you sent your son to die for our sin. And I accept your offer of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I say with my mouth and I believe in my heart that I am saved, I am born again, I am restored. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. You know, it always amazed me that how simple that part is. And that entitles you to all the blessings and promises of God. If you don't know them, buy a book. Look them up. You can Google them, promises of God. You got a situation in your life you need resolved, Google it, a promise. You Google promise of God, how to work on my marriage. Promise of God, how to deal with my children. Promise of God, how to get some money. God will show you some things. I'm telling you, he'll move earth and heaven to get it done. But in the process, that's how you learn that you have power, because you have power with God, as they say. With God, all things are possible, okay? Not just all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And know this, that prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Be blessed. See you next week. Hallelujah.
I record.